بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، باري الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, commenting on the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, where he says, ثَلَاثَةٌ أَخَافُهُنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي ذِلَّةُ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَمُذِلَّةُ الْفِتَنِ وَشَهْرَةُ الْبَطْنِ وَالْفَرَجِ. He says, there are three things that I fear for my community: deviation after spiritual awareness, being misled by captivating dissension, and the desires of the stomach and the genitals. And we started talking about the first two: the deviation after spiritual awareness and being misled by fitna or captivating dissension. And we talked about a verse in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ كَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And do not be among the polytheists of those who split their religion up and become sects, each of them exalting in what it possessed. And the Prophet was asked about the phrase, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ, those who split their religion up into sects, those who split their religion up. What does this mean? And he said it meant the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation. And that the repentance of every sinner is forgiven, but the repentance of those who bring new things or change religion into new forms on their own, the people who innovate in religion, these people are not forgiven. And he says they follow their hawa, they follow their personal inclinations. And what is hawa? Because when he says this, what he's actually doing is commenting upon this particular verse, saying the reason why they split their religion up into sects, into groups. And hawa, as we said yesterday, is personal inclination, opinions, tendencies that do not come from the intellect. They come from our feelings and our internal states, you know. So for example, you know, on one day you're walking the street and you see an ice cream store and you feel like an ice cream, for example. That's your hawa, okay? You know, you might have a particular type of psychological configuration, a particular type of, background in your childhood, so that you might be inclined to certain things. You know, a man, for example, who might be abusing his wife because he saw his father abuse his mother, for example. It comes from a place inside of it. It doesn't come from his intellect. It comes from an experience where he feels this way. This is hawa, personal inclination. And these are the kind of things that people base sects upon. There is something that corresponds also or goes along with hawa. And that which goes along with hawa is what we call waham. Waham is what I would describe as the imagination, the delusive imagination. You know, when you are deluded about something, you see what is not there. When you're deluded, Okay? It is a state that describes certain types of madness, of schizophrenia, where, for example, you are seeing something that nobody else sees, but you see it and you relate to it as if it's real because you think it's real. This is a delusion. And it's an imagination that comes about with this. And so, for example, let's say, a good example of a delusion is, say, for example, you know, you watch 120 vampire movies, and somebody says, look, you know, we have a dead body here in this room, and I want you to stay with tonight because you don't have anybody else to stay with that person. Huh? And you say, okay. But at night, all your movie experiences come to you, and you become terrified of this body in the room, although you know it can't hurt you, okay? And you might even see this body look at you or turn or something like that. This is a delusion. Yes, salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. The crowd is now building up. And once again, on the side of our sisters, I would like to appeal to you, my sisters, to try to calm down. Try to get your children calm as well and observe the rights of those people who would like to hear what I have to say. So this is an example of delusion. You know, you might have your kid. Many parents experience this. Their child is in a room, they can't sleep. Why? Because that pole that holds a coat, hook of the coats or the clothing on, seems to come alive, right? And they can swear that that coat looked at them when you close the room. This is delusion. And you have something called a delusive imagination. See, once you base something on your feelings, then comes a kind of a pseudo-intellect where you imagine a certain type of reality around this particular feeling. So all of these things combine to form a new way of thinking. And don't think it's something that happens only in normal people or ordinary people or in religion. It happens in science as well. You know, when, for example, you know, we remove from the equation the role of Allah creating the world, then the delusive imagination comes into play and say, well, okay then, nature created itself. And even though the odds are astronomical that something as sophisticated as a human being could be on a planet like this, the right distance from the sun, etc., 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 which is highly impossible for all of these factors to come together, okay, that delusive imagination has no choice but to construct a false reality around that. So it happens in science as well. So this is what Hawa is. Hawa is that personal inclination that leads you to come to wrong conclusions because you're inclined to change your religion to fit your personal inclinations. And I gave you an example yesterday of, for example, homosexual churches and homosexual mosques, etc., etc. Why? Because in a society like this one, that is based upon things that are not religious, that are based upon just simply what you feel. In other words, what? Your hawa. Okay? Because of this, people find themselves oriented to this and they feel uncomfortable with what their religion wants to say, what their religion is saying. And therefore, they find themselves trying to conform religion to this type of belief, and so you have these different expressions taking place. So commentators say about the part of the verse that said, "Kullu hisbin bima ladayhim farihun," each faction exulting or being happy in what it possessed, is talking about the hawa. It's talking about the personal inclinations. And Allah condemns this in the Holy Quran. He condemns this in the Holy Quran. He says in the Holy Quran, وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. He says, had the truth followed their desires, the heavens and the earth would surely have fallen apart and those who are in them. If the truth was to conform with what they desire, everything would fall to pieces. Why? Because we all don't have a common desire. We all have different desires based upon our different experiences, based upon our different personality types, etc., etc. And therefore, the only and the most reliable way to approach our reality is by means of the aqql, is by means of the intellect. And the hawa is actually not following the intellect, but following the emotions. So one of the distinguishing signs of this splitting up of religion is being happy in what they believe. Not that normal believers are not happy, but it is because that they are quite satisfied that they have created something that their hearts are already inclined to. And so they are, you know, in a state of exaltation because of this. And so because of their egos, their insecurities, their hawa or their personal inclinations have made what they have chosen beautiful for them. And they're hypnotized by this. And so because it is unstable, they feel threatened. They feel threatened by orthodoxy. They feel threatened by the majority expression. And because of this, they could rise up in arms and get really abusive if you discuss with them or try to challenge them based upon the religion or the new religion that they have. So in the emotions here are the driving force, not the intellect. And this is where you find things like extremism taking place, because extremism has a strong emotional aspect to it. Extremism has less of an intellectual and more of an emotional aspect to it. This sectarianism does not conform with the intellect, does not conform with the intelligence, does not lead to unity or solidarity. It is rather the product of caprice, rather the product of vanity, of pride, of selfishness, and these types of things. And the result is that they come out of line, that they become opposing groups within a religious body. Now, I'd like to mention that what we are saying here is not that we are against or different schools of thought cannot exist in a religion. We cannot say that. Because as religion grows and develops, remember, religion is also a speculative phenomenon, okay? It has a theology, and in a theology, it has a philosophy. And so you can have different views on how you approach theology or philosophy and so forth. It is a system of law. So you can have different views or different ideas as to how the law should be applied or legal principles and so forth. One can think of a religion as a tree. You know, as a tree grows, it sprouts new branches. But these branches are all part of the tree. Okay? So it is no problem if you have Maliki, Hanbali, Shafi, Jafari, and so forth and so on. Absolute Zaidi and so on. Absolutely no problem. This is just a natural result of religion. Any religion you look at, you can see this. Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, they all are like this. Okay? So that's one point we have to mention. It also does not mean that you have to accept everybody as part of your core religious person. You can't say that everybody who calls himself a Muslim automatically becomes a Muslim or is part of the Islam. So this is why we have a special body of teaching, okay, that teaches us orthodoxy, that teaches us what is the prescribed, agreed upon way of looking at belief. And so for a Muslim, for example, there is no God but Allah, okay, and that Allah is incomparable to anything, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is the messenger of Allah. This is what makes us Muslim. What makes a person a sectarian then, what makes a person a sectarian is, as this verse has mentioned, an attitude where you are exalting in what you believe and denigrating other people for what they believe. Where you say that I am the only true Muslim, for example, and all of the others are fakes. All of the others are astray. This is what makes you a sectarian. And sectarianism is something that can affect, you know, religions that are not Islamic and Islamic. Remember this. Because right now we are actually seeing this taking place in front of our eyes. You know, we have Daesh, for example, that is prepared to kill Muslim and non-Muslim because they believe that they have the only truth. And when you see pictures of these guys, one of the things that stands out with them, either they are very ugly and very serious, or they're very happy. They're laughing and smiling, right? And they will do that when they kill you, okay? This is an aspect of sectarianism. So sectarianism is not the existence of a school of thought, okay? Sectarianism is your attitude to that school of thought to which you believe, to which you adhere. So if me, as a Shia, start thinking that all Sunnis are going to go to hell, for example, or I can't learn anything from Sunnis, okay? That makes me a sectarian. And also it happens between religions as well, okay? Not just religion. No, it doesn't mean sectarianism here. What it means is extremism. You know, that I, for example, as a Muslim, have the final truth, and nobody else has a claim to this truth, or nobody else is entitled to the truth, okay? So therefore, you know, they are obstacles in the spread of the truth, and therefore their lives are of no consequence. And this is a very important distinguishing feature. When we look at Islam, over the centuries, before this aberration that we call the modern world, we find Islam in general was one of the most tolerant, and one of the most accommodating religions the world had ever seen. And what guided us is La Ikraha Fid Din. There is no compulsion in religion. Nobody could force you to be a religious person. Religion comes from your own conscience. It comes from your own heart. It comes from your own investigation. Indeed, in our madhab, we say that there is only taklif in following the Sharia. There's only obedience or following, if one can say that, or you know, in terms of the law, not in terms of belief. Every single one of us is responsible to verify our belief. Every single one of us, to the extent that we can, is responsible for asking questions of our belief. There's no problem with that. You see, so when you meet somebody who doesn't believe in what you believe, that person is not entitled to some kind of automatic condemnation. This is a negative thing that would condemn us. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There's a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ali. He says, man ta'assaba aw تعصب له فقد خلع ربق الإيمان من عنقه. He says, whoever is bigoted, and I say bigoted because, you know, a bigot is somebody who expresses his bigotry, okay? Many of us have prejudices, but we don't express it. It's a sign of our health because we are not comfortable with it. But there are people who are prejudicial and they express it. This is bigotry. He said, whoever is bigoted or incites bigotry around himself and his own causes, the knot binding him to faith is untied from his neck. That means he comes out of religion. He comes out of faith. Now there are certain signs I'd like to mention to you. Certain signs of this type of bigotry. Okay, one of them is that it is dominated by one particular perspective. It is dominated by one particular perspective that guides everything in what they do. They're almost one-track minded. The other thing is they tend to be isolationist. They do not mix or do not associate with the general ummah, the general community. They're always off to the side. And that reinforces their exclusivist beliefs. Thirdly, they love to criticize the majority and cannot resist by calling them names and other pejorative ways. The other thing is, their leaders are not educated or knowledgeable in religion. Usually, in some or other way, they are infatuated by some idea. So they bring this idea into religion, whether it is racism, whether it is ethnocentrism, whether it is a political ideology, because I've heard of Islamic Marxism, for example, you know, or whether it is a sexual orientation. This is the dominant thing that colors their particular religion. And they have bad akhlaq. Their behavior with those who do not believe in the same thing they believe in is something that is questionable. They do not behave with them in a nice way. They're disrespectful, they're loud, they're insufferable. They won't make you get a word in edgewise. They're impatient with you. They're easy to anger, and they can easily become violent. And also, they think that the only true representatives of religion. I would like to mention a statement by Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he talks about this. He says, you know, you have to remove ta'assub or bigotry in your heart, okay? Your intense identification with these types of things. He says, but if you cannot avoid this, let you be bigoted for virtuous qualities, praiseworthy acts, and admirable matters. Be bigoted about this. Be ta'assub about good things. So be partisans or be bigots of praiseworthy characteristics like protection of your neighbor, fulfillment of the rights, obedience of good people, opposition to the arrogant, adoption of virtue, abstention from intimidating other people, abstention from shedding bloodshed, doing justice to people, suppressing your anger, and avoiding corruption in the land. This is what you should be bigoted about. This is what you should take this ta'assub, this intense identification with something, and orient yourself to. So inshallah, I pray to Allah that we all try to eradicate ta'assub or bigotry from our hearts. I pray to Allah that we all become open to new ideas and to people, and that we all try to remain together in one ummah without any division, and to be able to be brothers to each other and to be tolerant with each other, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.